Begin the current daven sech the schun of kufchav ches. Begin 9 lines down at the top of the yamut, where the gemara continues the discussion of the previous daven. That is our mishnah. We're speaking about a piece of flesh or a limb that's dangling, that's hanging from an animal. So on that, the mishnah said that if the animal gets slaughtered, so the animal gets prepared with the blood, becomes a meichel, a food item susceptible with the blood, which is one of the 7 types of liquid that make it susceptible to tumas eichlin. On that, Reb Meir said that the limb that's hanging also becomes prepared for tumas eichlin that way too. Whereas Reb Shimon said, no, it does not become susceptible that way. So the Gemara says, what's their machlekes? So Rabbi says, the machlekes is regarding, do we say that the whole animal could be a yad, a handle for the limb? And that is that we do consider it as separate things, but the question is that we know there's a halacha of yad regarding tumah, but do we say the same thing regarding hechsher? And that is, both of them hold that there is a yad for hechsher. The question is, do we say the animal will be a handle for that too? And that is, Reb Meir holds that it's a handle for it. So although it's actually only the animal that's becoming tame, not the hanging limb, because the hanging limb is considered its own thing, but it's attached, or it could be a handle, and therefore it's like that the dangling limb also became prepared, whereas Reb Shimon holds that not. That was one interpretation. Abayin Reb Yechanan said that no, an animal's not being a yad for just a limb that's hanging from it. Can't say the primary is a secondary to the other thing. Rather, it's that the Machlekes says, do we consider it as one entity? And that is, Reb Meir held that it's considered as one entity, because if you would pick up the animal, the limb would come with it. Even though if you'd pick up the limb, the animal wouldn't come with it. It's considered one. And Reb Shimon says, no, it's not considered one entity, because if you'd pick up the limb, the larger part wouldn't come with it. We don't consider it as one. And therefore, since it's not a yad for it, what's coming in contact with the liquid is the animal, but the limb is not considered part of that animal anymore, and therefore it's not being prepared with that blood. Those are the two interpretations. And that Agamar continues with many other interpretations in this Machlekes. Third interpretation, Rav Amar, he says, "B'yesh yad l'tumah ve'ein yad l'hechsher k'miflagi." What was assumed in the first interpretation of Rava, of Rabba, so that Rava says that actually that is the point of their contention. We know there's halacha, as we said in the previous daf in this parak, that there's something called a yad, a handle, like a bone connected to the flesh, is a handle for importing and exporting tumah. But their machlekes is, however, maybe we don't say the laws of a yad, of a handle, for the laws of being machsh or something. And that is Marsa of Reb Shimon held, yesh yad l'tumah. Yeah, of course there's something, a handle for tumah. But ve'ein yad l'hechsher. But there's no handle for hechsher. Something that, if the handle is getting liquid on it, that won't make the thing it's connected to be prepared for tumah and being susceptible to tumah. And therefore, although the animal is getting the blood, but what it's connected to, that hanging flesh, that hanging limb, that's not being prepared. Whereas a Marsa of yesh yad l'tumah l'hechsher, the Reb Meir held that, yeah, there is a law of yad, not just for tumah, but also for hechsher. Just like we know, as we said in the beginning of the parak, it's a law of yad for tumah, so too yad for hechsher, where, again, in Rava's answer, everyone's presuming that the animal, although it's the larger part, could be a handle for the aver. But the question is that only for tumah, or is that even for hechsher? Fourth interpretation, Rav Papa, he says, behechsher koydim machshav kemefugi, the machlekes is regarding that, do we say that something could be prepared for being susceptible to tumah before there was a thought even that this should be a food item? And that is, everyone holds that there is a law of yad for tumah and for hechsher. However, here we're talking about that the animal was slaughtered before the person had intention to feed that hanging limb to a non-Jew. So you have that the hechsher, it became susceptible to tumah with the blood coming on it, before the machshava even that this limb should be fed to a non-Jew. So Reb Shimon held that since at the time that became susceptible to tumah, when the blood of the slaughtering came onto that animal, it wasn't yet susceptible to tumah, because generally that hanging limb is not presumed to be going to be eaten, because a Jew obviously can't eat it, because it's not going to be part of the animal that's slaughtered. It's considered like it was not part of the animal. And it's not even appropriate for a non-Jew, because it's aver min achai. So it has to be prepared. So, says Reb Shimon, since it wasn't even yet thought to be a food item, it can't be prepared to have the tumah of eichel, but not even a food item. So therefore, it's not even going to receive the hechsher of tumah, although it came in contact with one of the liquids. And says the Gemara, it's not, as we learned in the Braisa, which will show us that this is the machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. The Braisa tells us, Amar Bihuda, says, Kachayir Bikiba Shaina, this is what Bikiba was teaching. He said, Chaylev Shchuta Bikfarm, the forbidden fats of a slaughtered animal in the villages, which in the villages they normally didn't eat the fats, because there's very little people over there, and they had more than enough animals for the needs of the village. Now, in contrast, by the cities, where there's many people and there's not so many animals, so they don't have so much to eat. So therefore, in that difficult situation, that they will eat the fat. Or different reason is because in the villages, they don't normally eat fats, schmaltz, because they're poor. But in the cities, where they're wealthy, they eat those types of things. But either way, since in the villages, they wouldn't normally eat those fats, so says Rabbi Akiva, tzarach machshava. So to make it susceptible to tumas eichlin, you have to first think about it that you want it to be designated as eating, because generally we won't assume that it's going to be eaten. However, ve'in tzarach hachshav, but it does not need to be prepared with coming in contact with one of the seven liquids to be susceptible to tumah. Shekva hokshav b'shchita, because the fat, which is part of the animal, was already made susceptible with the blood of the slaughtering, even though there that heksha was before the makshava, because the makshava is later on. When you have the fats, you think, okay, I want this to be eaten. That's after the heksha by the shechita of the dam. Now, Sajib Yehuda Marti Lefanov, I said in front of Rebbe Kiva, but Lamad Teinu Rebbeinu, our teacher taught us the following halacha. Ulshin, which is a type of an herb called karshpila, shalakdon, if someone had plucked those herbs, v'dichon lebehema, and he washed it for the animals to eat it. So it became hochshur, because it was washed off. It came in contact with one of the seven liquids. And then, v'nimlech alein la'adam, but then the person changed his mind and said, no, I'm not going to use it for animals. I'm going to use it for people to eat. So you said, tzriches hechshur sheini, then it has to have a second preparing for tumma, because the initial washing was the hechshur before the machshava. So how could you say that here are these fats, they don't have to be prepared? And says Rabbi Huda, b'chaz Rabbi Kiva liyishayna, and says the Brisa, b'chaz Rabbi Kiva liyishayna ke Rabbi Huda. Yeah, ultimately Rabbi Kiva retracted based on that halacha, that correct, that hechsher was before the fact that it was even the eichel, and therefore it cannot have been hechsher then, you have to have a hechsher shayna. Says the Gemara, that's the machligas for Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Mar sabar la k'mikar, Meir in our Mishnah held, like Rabbi Kiva held before he retracted, which is that, yeah, you could have hechsher, Even before you had the machshava of being a food item. Therefore, in our Mishnah, where although it's not a food item yet, because it wasn't designated yet to be eaten, still it could be hukshar b'demel from the animal. Marso b'lo kechazar, Rabbi Shimon held, like ultimately Rabbi Kiva retracted, like Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that food items for animals not considered a food item to be mekabel tuma, and therefore that hechsher is not going to help until you have a hechsher later on after the machshava, after it's already as a food item. A fifth interpretation, Rav Acha Barid of Ikama, he says, "Beneskaneh hadam bein simin l'simikim afugim." The machlekes is regarding if the blood was washed off the limb that it did fall on, not like the other case we were saying, oh, it only fell on the animal, and the question is the animal a yad for it? Do we say a yad for hechsher? Even if we do, is the animal a yad for it? Or do we consider the animal the same thing as the limb itself? No, here what we're talking about is everyone holds that no, you don't say a yad for hechsher, but there is a yad for tumah. The machlekes is regarding the blood sprayed on that limb itself that was dangling. But the blood was wiped off between the slaughtering. An animal needs to be slaughtered in both pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe. And the slaughtering. The first pipe is cut, the blood spurts onto that dangling limb. Then it gets wiped off before the person finished the slaughtering to cut the second pipe. What's the machlekes? So the Gemara says, Mar sabre meir held yeshnu l'shchita mitchil batzayf. Slaughtering, the act of slaughtering is considered the whole act from the beginning to the end. So therefore, v'hai dam shchitu. This blood that only came from the first pipe that burst out and was actually wiped off before the slaughtering was finished is the blood of slaughtering, because we view slaughtering as the entire act. So therefore, dam shchita is one of the seven types of liquids that will be machshir l'kabel tumah. Therefore, like he says in the mikshah, hukshir b'demel. But Amar of Reb Shimon held, Eina l'shchita el saif. No, slaughtering is only when you finish it. It's not considered slaughtering until you finish it. V'hai damaku, and therefore this blood is the blood of a wound. It's like an injury of the animal, and therefore it's not going to make susceptible, because only dam shchita or dam chalalim, which is a slain animal, is called mashka, but not dam of maka, and therefore it's not considered that liquid of dam to make it susceptible to tumah, and therefore he held it wasn't hokshar b'demel. A sixth interpretation of Ashi Amar, he says, the machlekes is simply, do we say that the slaughtering is what makes it susceptible to tumah and not the blood, or is it the blood? Because Rav Ashi has explained that everyone holds that there is a yad for hechsher, and this, therefore this limb, has a yad, because the rest of the animal is a yad as a handle for that limb. Or you could say that he holds that if you hold on to the smaller part and the larger part doesn't come with it, it still would be considered as one. Meaning we consider it as one. Or if the blood sprays on that limb and it doesn't get wiped off, either way, whatever one of the interpretations you say, that you'll go with that idea that we do consider as if this limb got the blood, whether because it's part of the animal again, or it's because the animal is a handle for it. But either way, Reb Meir holds, yeah, what prepares it for tumah is the blood. So therefore, it becomes chokshel kabel tumah simply because, like all those interpretations were saying. But Reb Shimon goes according to his understanding that he said, as we quoted this on the second parak at Lamed Vav Med Alef, he says, actually, you know what prepares the animal for tumah is only the shechita, not the blood. Now this limb, since the slaughtering does not permit it to be eaten, because although the slaughtering helps it that it purifies it, it's not going to have tumah of nevela, but it does not prepare it to be eaten. So because it's hanging, it's not part of the slaughtering. So therefore, it doesn't make it susceptible to tumah either. Because the reason why the slaughtering makes it prepared is because since it makes it a food item so that it can be eaten, so it makes it a food item also in regards to mekabel tumah. But here, that's not making a food item to be eaten, it's not going to make a food item either to be tumah. So therefore, that's their machlokes. It's simply like we find Reb Shimon l'shitasai that he holds is not the blood, it's the slaughtering. Slaughtering doesn't work for the limb. So although the blood got on it, either it spurted on it, or because the animals are yad, it doesn't make a difference. For me, that works, because yeah, it's the blood that's makshrit. According to Reb Shimon, it's the shechita. And the shechita is only makshrit if it makes it permitted to be eaten. Here, this limb cannot be eaten, and therefore it's not going to makshrit l'kabel tumah. Now, going back to the first interpretation from the previous daf, Bayi Rabba. Rabba was the first one who had said that the machlikis was, do we say that the animal itself, which is the larger element, could it be considered a handle for the limb? So the animal is getting wet. Do we say that it getting wet is going to make it as if that hanging limb got wet and is hokshel kabel tumah? So according to his interpretation, Rabba asks, according to Reb Meir, the way he explained it, that he says that the animal could become a yad for the limb that's hanging when the animal is slaughtered to make it hokshel kabel tumah. So the question is, what's with behema b'chayahu? What's if, let's say, the animal's alive? The case we were describing in the Mishnah is the animal was slaughtered. What's if the animal is alive? What's the halacha? Could it be a handle for that limb, like a regular handle, not regarding the halacha of hochshir that we're talking about in our Mishnah, but simply like the halacha of yad, always to import and export tumah, where it became susceptible, that limb, by coming in contact with water after it started hanging and dangling, which we said in the Mishnah that no, then it's mekabel tumah b'mekayman, which although it's still connected, but on that level we consider it a detached, it's a food item. So the question that he's asking is, if let's say a source of tumah touches the animal, what's halacha? Is it a handle to then import tumah to the limb? Do we say that since ultimately it's a living creature is not mekabel tumah, so it cannot be a handle for importing tumah? Or maybe do you say that no, although it itself is tar, but it could be a handle for that limb, just like we find by a bone that has flesh and food items on it, which it could be a yad for the basur to import and export the tumah, even though the bone itself without flesh is not mekabel tumah, but still it could be a handle. So therefore, maybe here the animal could also be a handle to be import and export tumah from that limb. So the Gemara take a let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be. Now the Gemara asks many similar types of questions, all based on Tanoic teachings, which have a similar question regarding what would the halacha be if we could see such a yad. So Amabaye says, Harei Amru, they said in the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin, following halacha, Kishus shenata ba'atzis, regarding cucumbers, they were planted in a pot, which is not perforated, there's no hole. So it's not considered attached to the ground, it's detached. And therefore, it could contract tumah like all other food items. It just happens to be in the pot, but it's not considered planted. Or let's say if it was even tumah, it would still retain its tumah. But let's say, so you planted it in this pot that has no hole. But vigdila, so it grew this plant. Viatzis, and then the branch went out. Chutzlaatzis, it started hanging over outside of the plant, and it's hanging over the ground. Starting to nourish and grow from the ground's nourishment through the air, so it's like attached to the ground. So says the Tanna Kamma, Tahira. Now all the cucumbers in that plant, in that pot, are now tar. Why? Because now they're nourishing from the branch which is hanging outside the pot, which is nourishing from the ground. So they're all considered connected to the ground. It loses its tumah, and it's not susceptible to tumah either. On that, Reb Shimon disagrees. He says, "V'chimat tiva litar, what is this great quality you're saying that you're going to purify the cucumbers inside the pot?" He says, "No, elad tamei betumase. Those which are tamei, they remain tamei. What's in the pot, they're makabel tumah because they're considered detached. They're not over the ground. But v'tar, that which is tar, the branch that is outside, and that's nourishing from the aromas of the ground through the ear, so that's like it's attached to the ground, and therefore that's bitarasi, that's it's in its purified state. But what's its inside is tame, outside is tar. On that, Abaya asked, according to Rabbi Shimon, similar questions, all these questions, what's halacha? Could we say that branch that's outside, that's tahar, because it's connected to the ground, could it become yad l'chaverta? Could it be a handle for its counterpart, for the cucumbers that are inside, to import tumat it? I mean, it itself is not makabel tumah, but it's connected to those inside. So could it be a yad for that, or not? So the Gemara take it, let it stand. Similarly, Amr b'Yirmi, it says, Hari Amr, they said the following teaching. Someone bows down in this act of worship to a half of a gourd, half of that vegetable. So Asra, he makes it forbidden to have benefit from it because it's considered avodah zarah. He worshipped it. Now, according to Reb Shimon, he holds that Isur Hanah, things that are forbidden to have benefit from it, they do not have Tumas Eichlin. Why? As the Gemara teaches on the next daf, Makov Chav Tesim and Aleph, Pasuk says, regarding the halach of Tumas Eichel, Mikolo Eichel Asher Yo'achal, from all food items which will be eaten, which has to at least be eaten by other people, by non-Jews. Now, here, this gourd is forbidden to have benefit. So, therefore, it's not going to have Tumas Eichel anymore, because you can't even give it to a non-Jew. No one could eat, it's forbidden to have benefit. Now, although, actually, that half of a gourd, what do you mean it doesn't have Tumas Eichel? It has its own intrinsic Tumah. Because we know that avodah zarah, things of idolatry, they actually contaminate like a sheretz, as the pasuk says, shaketz teshaktzen, and Rebbe Kiva says actually contaminates like a nida, as the pasuk says, tizam kamei dava. But however, that's actually, that tumah is only rabbinic. As the Gemara says in Shabbos daf pei gimel beis, that pasuk are only allusions, they're smach to be alma. But biblically, there's no tumah. And moreover, according to Rebbe Shimon, the fact that it's actually avodah zarah actually makes it that it cannot even contaminate tumah seichel. So on that, by Rabbi Yirmi asks, as you continue to the bays, Ma'ushat Yasa Yad L'Chaverta. What's the halacha? Could that half, although it cannot be metamet to Masechlin because it's Isur Hanah, could it be a handle in regarding to biblical Tumah to then go ahead and contaminate its counterpart, the other half of the gourd, which could have Tumasechlin, it's not Avodah Zarah, to contract Tumah from a Sheretz so that it should bring it to the other half, to make as if the other half is a Rishon L'Tumah, as if the Sheretz, which actually touched the half of the Avodah Zarah part, as if, since it's a Yad for it, as if it touched the other half. Because as Rashi points out, most definitely, we're not going to say that the half that it touched was the Rishon, and then it's like a Yad for it, like as if it's connected to the other half, and the other half is like a Sheni, because no, this first half is not getting any Tumah. It cannot have Tumah Zeichel, it's Avodah Zarah. Question is, do we say that it's like a yad to the other half, and that the other half, they could have tumah, as if it touched that other thing, and therefore that other half would become a rishon l'tumah from the sheretz that touched the other half. That's one interpretation in Rashi. The other one he says is that it's actually, the question is actually the tumah of avodah zarah that half has. That we say that half is like avodah zarah, which is like a sheretz, and the other half, we're saying, is it a yad, and that whoever touches that other half, which is actually the non-avodah zarah part, is like as if he touched the avodah zarah part. Or maybe do we say that, no, there's no yad, and whoever touches that other half is going to be tar. For example, if let's say that other half was not hoksh l'kabal tumah, and therefore did not have a lach of a food item to get the tumah from the other half, or even if it became susceptible, but then all it is going to be a rishon, whoever touches is going to be sheni, but won't have that status of a rishon. That's the question. Do we say that a food item can be a yad for the other part of the food item, or not? Says the Gemara Teiku, let it stand. Similarly, Amar Papa says, Hare Amru, they said in the Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin, Yichur, a branch, shall te'ena of a fig tree, shenifshach, which it broke off. Now, but a ma'ur b'klipas, it's still attached, it's still hanging by its bark, by the peel of the tree. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Matar, he says that, okay, it's still tar, because we consider that as it's still attached to the tree. So whatever's attached to the ground, which is attached to the tree, is it cannot be mekabel tumas. But the sages say, no, if it could still survive, if it could still stay alive, so then we view it as attached, and then tar, then it's going to be pure. But vimla, but if not, then we view it already as it's detached, even though it's hanging by the bark, and then tame, it will be mekabotom. Now on that, Bayra Papa, yes, maushi ya'asa yad l'chaver, what's halacha? Could it be considered a handle for its counterpart? Meaning, if let's say that they broke off from this broken branch, another branch, which is hanging by its bark to that first branch. And the second branch cannot survive. So we view it as detached. But the first branch that's attached to the tree could survive. The question is, do we say that the one that could survive, and therefore is not makabel tumah, could it be a handle for the one that is considered as detached, and to bring tumah to that second branch that cannot survive? Or a different interpretation, do we say that if this branch, that the first just one branch that got pulled off, cannot survive, what's the halacha? Do we say that the tree could be a handle for it to bring tumas to the peiros on that branch? Because that branch could be mekabel tumah because we view it as detached. Could the tree be a yad for that branch, for the fruits on it that will be mekabel tumah? Says I'm going to take it, let it stand. Similarly, Amr b'zeira. So it's Harei Amru. They said in the Mishnah Masechtas Negoyim, Evan, a stone that has the tumah of Negoyim on it, which is a certain type of sign of discoloration, like leprosy, that Shebezavis, that's in the corner of the house, which is the cornerstone, could be seen from, if that stone itself could be seen from this house and in this house, because the way they make the corners of the house is they make this large stone which could contain the entire thickness of the wall, and it's visible from both sides. Now, and we're talking about like a townhouse, which the houses are connected by the stones. So says the Mishnah, Kishu Chaylitz, it's halacha that when there's a neges, so we want to check it out to see what's going to happen with it, what's called hezger, we sequester it, we keep it there for 1 week closed off, and at the end of the week, the Pasuk says, V'choltzes avanim. So then you have to remove the stones that have the nega. Now, so when you're removing it, says the Mishnah, Chaylitz says, cool, you have to take off the whole stone, because it says evan, as it is, whether it's big or small, you have to take out that whole stone. Now, however, kushu naisitz, but when he's smashing it, which is a different halacha, which is after what's called hachlata, which is that after it was confirmed that this house has the nega, you have to smash it, now he's coming to do what's called nitutz, then actually only naisitz eshaloi. He only cuts off that part of the stone, which is on his side, which his house is the one that has the nega, but it leaves the half of that stone, which is from his friend's house. Because the Pasuk says, Venitzitz Asabai, he's only smashed that house that has the nega, but not two houses. So, although it's the same stone, so that when you're doing Chalitza, so then you take off the whole stone, which is even his half, but when you're doing Nitzitz, which is only on the house, you do your half and not the other person's half. Now, on that halacha, Boy Ribzer says, Mao Shatiyasa, what's the halacha? Could we say that the pure half will be a yad, will be a handle for the other half, to actually import tumah lichaverta to the other person's house, to the pure house, because an evan hamanagas, a stone that has a nega, transmits tumah if it's in the same oil, as the pasuk says, v'abal abayis, whoever comes in the house will be tummy. So although that person's half of the stone is tahar and it stays there, we don't take it away, but maybe it's a yad, it's a handle to export the tumah of the other half, which is tummy, and then make that house, that is the other house that doesn't have the nega, actually if someone walks in there, will be tummy. So the Gemara take a little stand, it's not clear what the halacha would be if we would say that it's a yad in these situations or not. Now the Gemara continues, we said in the Mishnah regarding this halacha that we're talking about of aver and buster, hamaduldal that are hanging from an animal. So we spoke about just before regarding when an animal is slaughtered. So he said regarding if then the limb becomes hoksha b'demeh or not. Then the Mishnah spoke about mesa behema. The animal wasn't slaughtered, this hanging limb or hanging flesh, if the animal dies. So Meir said regarding the flesh, and then he said regarding the limb. And he says that limb, since we say that the animal when it dies, what happens to the limb that's connected to it? He says we're going to view it as the Iver min hachai, as if it's a limb that was taken off from a living creature, but not as a limb that came off from a dead creature. So the question is, what's the difference, asked the Gemara? Both of them have the same type of a tumah. A limb that came out from a living creature actually has the same status as a limb that came from a dead creature, and that's the chiddush in that we say it's like its own dead thing. So what's the difference? Why is Rav Meir pointing out that we say that, oh, when the misa happens, it's eis and nipul, we view it as if this limb fell off before it died, and therefore it's eiv menachai, not eiv menavela. What's the difference? So the Gemara, Ikka Benai, the difference between them is regarding the following case. You're right, for most things they're the same, but Basa HaPayrish Mimenu, and some texts take out the word Me'ivr Behema, but it means the same thing, that if there's flesh that got detached from that limb, and that's where they say that from the limb at a later time, that this Eivr Menachai if we're going to consider it as Evim Nechai or Evim in the Nevela, is regarding the flesh that fell off him at a later point in time. Why? What's the difference? Because flesh that got separated from a limb that came off from a living creature actually will not have tumah. Because, as we said in the Mishnah, even flesh that came from the living thing itself does not have a lacha of tumah. Only if it has, it's part of a limb which has tendons and bones, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. So, if it doesn't have tumah, if its basar comes from the animal itself, for sure it's not going to have tumah if the basar came off from a limb from a living creature. Now, whereas even min a nevela mitame, but if we consider this limb as a limb from a dead creature, the flesh that would come off of that would have tumah because it has the kazayis, olive size of nevela, which is the flesh itself. The flesh itself in nevela, binevlasa, has the tumah. So the difference would be not regarding the limb, but flesh that comes off that limb. If we consider this as Evim in the Chai, as Ramey said in the Mishnah, the flesh that comes off actually will not have tumah. But if it were to be Evim in the Nevela, then the Kazayas of flesh would have tumah. Now the Gemara asks, the source of this halacha, Evim in the Chai de Metame Mikra. What's the source, the pasuk that tells us that actually a limb from a living creature, which is how Ramey is qualifying this status of this Evim that was hanging, that it has tumah? What's the pasuk? So Amar Yudim Rabbi says, the pasuk in Vayikra says, V'chiyamis min ha-behema, that if it's going to die from an animal, which is for you to eating, whoever touches that nevel will be tummy until the evening. Now, but when it says, when it's going to die from the animal, sounds like from part of the animal. For example, a limb from it. Because when it's saying V'chiyamis min, sounds like that's saying something like death, which will not be able to regenerate, like death, cannot come back. That's a limb, which that also does not come back once it comes off. And that's what the end of the pasuk says, Hanegeben of Lasa Yidmor, if it touches that nevela, will be tame. So that's telling us also the limb is the same status like a nevela. Now, and that's why we said the question was asked, what's the difference between Evim Nechai or Evim Nevela? The same thing as we're qualifying, actually, that's the source of the Tuma Evim Nechai, which is like a nevela. But the Gemara asks, but Vahime Ba'ili, Likidiyidach Rabbi Yudim Rav. You're saying that the source is this teaching of Yudim Rav from this pasuk, but you actually need that pasuk for a different teaching of Yudim Rav. Because the Amar Yudim Rav, he says, Vamrila, some say it's been masnita, Tom, it's torn the braisa, that you learn out a different teaching from this pasuk. He says, V'chiyamis min ha-behema, that if it's going to die from an animal, etc., where it says there's going to be this tomo. So what does it mean, min ha-behema? Says the braisa, or Yudim Rav, it means miktas behema tam, it means from, like only part. That there are parts, they're part animals that are mitame. There are some animals that do not transmit tumah, even though that it's like an animal that died. Which one is that? That's an animal of mortal defect, although when you're slaughtering it, it's really like it died, because that slaughtering is not permitting it to be eaten because it had a mortal defect, but actually it is mitarit from tumas nevela, won't have tumas nevela. So that the pasuk is telling us, only mina behema, but some animals, although it's like they're dead, they will not have tumas nevela. So you see, that's what we're learning from min, and therefore it cannot be teaching us the halacha that we said regarding Evim Menachai. Says the Gemara, Im Kain, Licht Rachmana, Mibbehema. But if that was the case, we're only teaching one halacha, it should have said Mibbehema. My min ha-behema. Why say a separate word? It could have said the word min could be just with a prefix of mem. Why say a separate word min ha-behema? So Maman Atarz is teaching us both halachas. One regarding that Evim Nechai, although we know that that's also to be eaten from already in the times of Adam, but regarding this of that it has a tumah, it's saying min, even if it's only a part of the animal, and also it's excluding trefa shashachta, that's not going to have the tumah of nevela. But that is a gemar hiachi, but if that's the source, a filibuster nami, then even flesh from a living creature should also be tame. Min means something that comes off from it. Why then specifically a limb? Why not also flesh? Which we said in the Mishnah that flesh will not have the tumah. Says Gemara, lo yisakadaitach, you can't entertain that. Because the Tanya, in the Braisa, different sources that say it's specifically a limb and not flesh. The Braisa asked the question, yachal yehei basa parish menachai tamei, you would think that flesh that also comes off from a living animal, that it should also be tamei. Therefore, the pasuk says that if it's going to die from an animal, which from there is where we just learned out the source of Evim Menachai that has tumah, but one thing is that it's calling it yamos, that it's dead, which means to say it has to be like similar to a dead animal, which is ma misa sheino isachalipin, just like a dead animal it doesn't go back to what it was. Once it's dead, it can come back. Of course, sheino isachalipin, so to all which cannot be regenerated. Now, flesh that actually comes off could be regenerated. If flesh comes off from the animal, flesh comes back. So therefore, that cannot be included in this halacha of min, that's similar to death, because it's not similar to death. A limb, once it comes off, will not come back. And therefore, it's only aver and not baser. That's the Rebbe Yisi. Kivayim gives a different source. It says, the pasuk says, v'chiyamas min ha-behema, it says behema, which we're comparing it to an animal. Now, ma behema gidim atzamas, just like an animal has tendons and bones. So whatever we're including has to have that too. Av kol gidim atzamas, also that which has tendons and bones, which includes an aver min ha-chai. But baser min ha-chai doesn't have that, and therefore that's not included in this tumah. Rebbe Yemi says similar but different. Said behema, ma behema baser gidim atzamas. Just like an animal has flesh, tendons, and bones. I've called baser gidim atzamas also all that has flesh, tendons, and bones. Which the Gemara right now is going to explain what's the difference between the two of them. That is also the prerequisite which flesh itself doesn't have all those three. Says the Gemara, ma'ika bein Rebbe le Rekiv. What's the difference between Rebbe and Rekiv? They seem to be saying the same thing. Says the Gemara, no, ika bein now. The difference between them is because Rebbe just adds on baser. The difference between them is arkuva, the lower joint, which is called the tarsus, which is sold generally with the head, because that's the lower part of the feet that get cut off and sold with the head, there's no flesh over there. There's only tendons and bones. According to Rebbe Kiva, that's going to be considered a limb, and for sure be seglili, because that doesn't regenerate. But according to Rebbe, that's not going to be considered even menachai, because there's no flesh. It has to have flesh and tendons and bones. Says the Gemara, okay, bein Rebbe Kiva. Between Rebbe Kiva, which he said that it has to have tendons and bones, Rebbe Yisrael Glili, which he said that it doesn't regenerate, which like we said, both of them agree with Arkuva, Maike Benai, what's in between them? Seemingly, whatever's not regenerating is the same thing that has tendons and bones. So Zigmar Rapapi says, Kulya, kidney, the nifs of asim, and lips, Ike Benai, that's the difference between the two of them. Because those two things, the kidneys and the lips, they don't regenerate, but there's no bones in them. According to Rebbe Yisi, it's going to be a limb because it's not Oysa Chalipin. According to Rebbe Kiva, it's not going to be a limb because it doesn't have bones and therefore it's not considered a limb. Says the Gemara, Tani Nami Gabi Shratzim Kai Gavin. This whole discussion we had regarding Evim and Achai by an animal, Sudri had a similar discussion regarding that of Shratzim of vermin, which has a similar halacha. Says the Braisa, Yochel Basar Apayish Min HaShratzim, you would think that flesh that gets detached from one of those vermin when it's still alive, because the halacha evim nechai applies just as well by shratzim as it does by an animal. So you would think that the flesh that gets detached, yehei tami, should transmit tumah, just like when it's dead it does. Tamalim b'maisim, that's what the pasuk says, when they're dead. So it's comparing whatever we're saying that will have the same halacha, it has the same status as when it's dead. Which is ma'am misa she'neis chalipin, this is the first, all these opinions parallel, just like when it's dead. It doesn't, it cannot rejuvenate. Of course, you know, it's a chalipin, also that which does not rejuvenate, which, okay, that includes, let's say, a full aver, but the flesh itself does, and therefore that will not have the tumma of the sheretz. That's the Rebbe Yisrael Glili. Kivayim, he says, we learn that because it says the word sheretz. Ma sheretz gidim atzamas. Whatever we're saying, let's say when it's alive, has to be similar to the dead sheretz, which is ma sheretz gidim atzamas, has tendons and bones. I've called the gidim atzamas also that which has tendons and bones. And Rebbe Yemi says, sheretz, we learn out, ma sheretz basa gidim atzamas. Just like a sheretz has to have flesh, tendons, and bones, I've called basa gidim atzamas also all that has flesh, tendons, and bones. So it's a Gemara, like I said before. Bein Rebbe, Rebbe Kiva, kebeinayu akruva, which is the lower joint, which is that, okay, it's going to have tendons and bones, but it's not going to have flesh. And Bein Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Siglili, ma'i kebeinayu, what's in between them? Amra Papa, similar as we said before, kul yivinivis v'sayim, ma'i kebeinayu, the difference between them is kidney and the lips, which, again, will not regenerate, but does not have bones, so according to Rekiva, it's not going to be, but according to Rebbe Yisrael Glili, it will be considered as an aver. Says Gemara Tricha, we have to say both of them that have these halachas of that basim and achai will not apply both by sheretz and by an animal. Why? The Ashmin Behemah had only said regarding an animal. We would say the reason why the flesh that comes off from the live animal that does not have this tumah is Meshum Dolei Metam Bekadosha, because flesh from an animal is not so severe because the tumah of an animal does not transmit tumah the size of a lentil. It needs a larger shear to be metame. Avasheretz and metame bekadosha, but regarding shratzim which transmit tumah even a small amount like that of a lentil, se'im l'tam mechaim, I would say it's more severe its tumah, and therefore even when it's alive, the flesh that comes off would transmit tumah. Now, v'yash min sheretz, have we only said the halacha that the bas is not metame by sheretz, is mishum dole metame b'masa. It's because there's no tumah of masa by shratzim, because it doesn't say the tumah of carrying by shratzim, whereby behemah does say. So that's what limit tam b'chaim. So it's not so severe. Therefore, it does not transmit tumah when the flesh comes up when it's alive. But regarding an animal where it transmits tumah with also carrying, I would say it also transmits tumah when it's alive. So therefore, we have to say by both of those contexts to say that although there is halacha of eivim and achai, which is similar to the halacha of when it dies, but basim and achai, it will not have the tumah both by the halacha of what we're discussing of behemah and also that of shrats.